You're listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, June 5th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Examining Our Growth.
Take your Bible, please. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians, if you will. The book of Ephesians, let's look at several verses here. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, we read just a moment ago, where the Bible says, Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And I want to talk to you this morning about examining our growth. Examining our growth. I don't know how you are, but there's been times when those 12 years I traveled in evangelism, we would stop off and we would do several things along the way. Many times we would stop off at what we call a farmer's market, and we would just kind of walk through the farmer's market. And you know, you find neat things in a farmer's market. Matter of fact, you find things in a farmer's market that you will find nowhere else on the face of earth. And so we walk through the farmer's market, and we would notice the old things that was there, the relatively new things that were there, the things that were just recently invented that was there. You know, many times we would stop off in just different places. We've been in caverns. We've been all sorts of places. Some of the ancient landmarks of our nation, we would stop off. Some of the heroes of our nation, you know, like a Sergeant York and different ones. We've been in the house there and met his children and his grandchildren. And so, you know, we would stop off in different places, places of discovery. I remember the first time I ever went to the King's Palace over in Bangkok, Thailand. I thought, boy, that is just so neat to be able to enter into the palace there. And it was just a place of discovery. I remember traveling over to Phnom Penh, there in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, and walking over what they call the place of the skull and walking around and just a place of discovery. I remember coming, of course, here as pastor at Parkside Baptist Church, and boy, just coming here and discovering different things about Texas and discovering different cultures that even Texans have that's a little bit different than maybe in other places. Just really neat. I love discovering food, don't you? Man, I love discovering food. You know, if you put it before me and you say, man, have you ever had that? And if I say, no, I'm probably going to try it because I love discovering different types of food. Love discovering different types of personalities. And boy, do we have different types of personalities around the world. But you know, I love discovering different types of personalities and different attributes about different people. Don't you love to get into a different type of car and drive it and figure out, you know, okay, it doesn't, the gears don't just exactly go that way, you know, and PA boys, I love getting on a motorcycle and riding the motorcycle down the hills and stuff like that and out through the countryside. And I love that. Love to get in the canoes and be able to go down the different places. Just recently, my wife and I took a little anniversary trip, and we went over to a place that was called Rough Creek, and it was a great place. I mean, we played golf together a little bit, or at least teed off, you know, and you know, we did all sorts of stuff. I mean, we rode bikes together, and it was just great. We went walking on a short little trail, got over there, played ping pong together. And you know, the air hockey together, and we just did all sorts of stuff, just spending good quality time together as a husband and as a wife, you know, just having a great time. I love discovering things. I was in Washington, D.C. This was a couple of years ago. We decided to go through Washington, D.C., went over to the Smithsonian Institute. And while we were in the Smithsonian, there was a little booklet that I picked up, and it had all sorts of things written in there about the microwave oven. And I did not know that the microwave oven has been used by our military even. Now they didn't carry the microwave oven itself, but I mean the way that you could take and transmit, I didn't know this, you can transmit communication through the microwaves, if you would please, that a microwave oven would put out. You could transmit all sorts of energy. It could be used to penetrate through haze, penetrate through falling rain, through snow, through clouds, through smoke, through the radar that it uses. Then you can put something inside of the microwave and be able, we used to say nuke it. And there's a truth to that, by the way, then. All right? And so you'd put it in there. And it was amazing to me when, now I know, you know, many of you are younger than I am, and some are older, but when we lived in Brooklyn, New York, we had our first microwave oven. And I thought it was great. I could become a chef just like that, you know. And I put stuff in the microwave oven, and you set it according to the time, and it nukes it, it warms it up, it cooks it, whatever you want to do. And, I mean, amazingly, I could cook my own meals. Amen. I mean, it was great. And they had what they call the TV dinners back then. And you could put it in there and you could set it for, 140 minutes or so. No, I'm kidding. But you could set it for something and you could hit that button and popcorn. You know, nowadays they have popcorn and you don't even have to think. It tells you on there how many minutes to put it in there. And you put it in there and you hit the minutes and before you know it, you got popcorn. I mean, how ridiculous is that? But it's neat. It's neat. And I thought, man, this is great. And then you heard the stories, the horror stories about the microwave ovens. You know, that if you get close to it, it's going to kill your brain cells. You know, and all sorts of, you remember those, you know? And when the cell phones first came out, you remember that? You know, don't put it to your ear. Well, where else are you going to put it? But don't put it to your ear, because if you put it to your ear, it's going to kill all your brain cells. And you're going to walk around and you're not going to be able to think. Well, most people are that way anyway, so it didn't matter. But now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. We were walking through the Smithsonian, and we learned about the microwave oven, about the radar that was. And to me, that was amazing. Of course, it doesn't take much to amaze me, but that was amazing. You know, and I learned all sorts of stuff about that. Well, here's some amazing things. Let me show you some things. Paul is discovering some things about Christianity. And what he's doing, he's telling the church at Ephesus. He's saying, look, here's some amazing things about Christianity. Here's some things that most people don't see right up to begin with. I mean, have you ever stared at something and you don't really see the value of it until you start to take it apart? And then once you start taking it apart, you start dissecting it, if you will, you get to see the value of the contents. Now, let me show you the value of the contents that Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus about. Look, if you will, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. The Bible says, now, therefore, ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens, it says, with the saints and the household of God. So what he's doing, he is reminding the church at Ephesus, let me remind you about your old condition. He said, look, I want you to look at this Christianity that you have. Don't just look at it and pass by. Don't just look at it and say, well, you know, it's okay. Don't just look at it and say, well, it's of little value. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to look at the Christianity that you possess and look at it closely and examine it to be able to understand the very attributes of what you have. Now, here's what he says about Christianity. He said, I love this. He said, you're no more strangers. You know what that means? That means it shouldn't be strange to you about Christianity. Christianity ought to be something that we treat as a fellow citizen, but not as a stranger. Now, what is a stranger? A stranger is somebody that walks into a place, if you will. Maybe it's a school for the first time and you feel strange. Maybe you walk into a job for the first time, feels kind of strange. You walk into a church service for the first time, never been to that type of church before, it feels kind of strange. There's a sense of loneliness there. There's a sense of unbelongment there. There's a sense of, do I really fit there? There's a sense of, how do I handle this now? All right, so here's what he says. He says, you remember when Christianity was that way, when you would get around another Christian and it just felt strange. Matter of fact, you thought they were strange. When you got around another Christian and you looked at them and you thought, boy, you know, where'd this guy come from? Why is he acting this way? Why does he use the words that I use? Why doesn't he walk the way that I walk? Why is it that he likes the different things that I like? It felt kind of strange. He said, remember the day talking to the church at Ephesus. He said, don't forget it now. Those that are at Ephesus, don't forget that there was a day when it was strange to you. Don't forget that there was a day when you looked at Christianity and it was kind of strange to you. And it was like a new place. It was like a place that you were not sure if you belonged or not. It was something that was completely, completely brand new to you. Wait a minute. He uses the word strangers. Then he uses the word foreigners. I don't know if you've ever been to a foreign country. There's a reason they call it foreign. It's just not the same. You know, when you go to a foreign country, they have foreign food. You've never seen such like. When you go to a foreign country, they have a foreign language. You never heard such like. When you go to a foreign country, they have different foreign cultures. You've never been involved in such like. Here's what Paul says to the church at Ephesus. He says, look, he says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers. You do fit. Ye are no more somebody that comes into a room and say, well, do I fit there? Can I get along with so-and-so? He said, look, he said, you're no more a stranger. You're no more a foreigner. You're not an outsider now. You belong to the family of God. You're not somebody, you know, a foreigner has a passport, but they have no citizenship. They're just passing through, passport. They're just passing through. They have no legal grounds there. They own no land there. There's no properties that is their own. You remember the day before you got saved? You felt like everything was strange when it came to Christianity. I remember when I looked at Christianity before I became a believer in Christ, I remember I looked at it from the outside and I thought, well, they're strange people. Yeah, I mean, they're just kind of strange. I mean, they're not normal like me. All right? And then when I got saved, I found out that, hey, there is some things that I identify with. And then the longer I stayed saved, are you listening? And you don't get unsaved, but the longer I stay saved, the longer that I was saved, the longer that I practice Christianity, you can be a part of the team and not practice carrying the ball. That's why some people that are saved come to church, but it's still strange to them. You know, the Bible says he that hath friends must show himself friendly. You know what that means? That means that you go up and you smile real big, get a goober smile on your face and shake a hand. That's what it means. Have you ever met the man that doesn't meet a stranger? You know, that man has many friends because he doesn't meet a stranger. And I don't know about you, but I have a hard time meeting strangers. I mean, I go up and before you know it, I dove in their life. And I like that. I don't like being somebody that is withholding themselves, but I like going up and shaking the hand and getting involved in somebody's life and helping them and encouraging them and trying to help them reach their potential in Jesus Christ. I like that. Now, wait a minute. Here's what you see. He said, look, remember your old condition. Remember when you were a stranger. Remember when it was all foreign to you. Remember when you sat down and you didn't understand the menu? Have you ever been there? Have you ever gone to an Italian restaurant and it's all Italian? Have you ever gone to a restaurant and for those that do not speak Spanish, you just don't understand? Have you ever gone to an English restaurant and they spoke so proper English, you still didn't understand? Or what is that? Okay, that's a person that's a foreigner, if you will. It's just strange to them, but even beyond that, it's something that's foreign to them. Will Rogers was what they called the humorous Will Rogers. They said that Will Rogers could make anybody laugh. Will Rogers went to the White House one day, and he was in the receptionist area when Calvin Coolidge was the president. One of Will Rogers' friends came up and said, nobody makes Calvin laugh. Calvin does not laugh. Will Rogers said, I promise you I can get him to laugh within 60 seconds of me being in his presence. He said, once I open my mouth and start to talk, he'll laugh. The guy said, there's no way. Nobody makes Calvin Coolidge laugh. He's staunch. He's rigid. He's not going to laugh. Will Rogers went up to him and said, oh, excuse me. He said, I don't think I caught your name.
talking to the president. He was in the office there, the receptionist. And boy, Calvin Coolidge just started to laugh and cackle. You know why? Because here was a guy that walked up and said to the president, everybody knew he was president. And he walks up, pardon me, sir, I don't think I got your name. Now, wait a minute. What was that? That was taking advantage of the situation. And sometimes in order to get to know somebody, you have to take advantage of the situation. How do you do that? How do you become somebody from being a stranger, somebody that is a foreigner, to being somebody that's accepted? Sometimes it takes a smile. Sometimes it takes a handshake. Sometimes it takes a note. Sometimes it takes an email. Sometimes it takes a text message. Sometimes it takes just caring about someone. And by the way, if we concentrated on caring for more people, I promise you, you'd have more friends in your life. Now, here's what's taking place. He talks to the church. He said, church, listen to me. He said, remember the day. He said, but understand, you're no more strangers. You're no more foreigners, but you are a fellow citizen with the saints. It says, of the household of God. There's something about being a citizen that gives rights. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. Because of that, I have rights. Are you listening to me? I'm in a place where, listen, I'm in a place where there's a kinship with a purpose, with an intent that's called our national beliefs. Now, because of that, I've got rights. Hey, listen, the Bible talks about you and I being children of God. We have rights. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, for you're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Many years ago, there was a little boy. He was playing outside. He got all muddy. And he started rushing into the palace of the king. Boy, the guardsman became quite alert. Thought, you know, what is he doing? He came rushing into the palace of the king. Mud all over him. The guardsman started to stop him. And he ran past the guardsman, ran right up to the king, and jumped in his lap. He's sitting now in the king's lap, all dirty, all muddy, and the king is looking at him and said, son, it's good to see you. Amen. You know, because he's a child, he had rights that nobody else had. And it didn't matter if he was dirty, and it didn't matter if the guardsmen did not want to let him into the holy presence of that which is the king of the kingdom. He had some rights that nobody else has. And I'm telling you this morning, on the authority of God's word, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you're no longer a stranger. You're no longer that which is a foreigner. But when you become a child of God, you become that which is a citizen of heaven. You have a kinship in God himself, and you're a joint heir to Jesus Christ. So Paul is pointing back, and he's saying to the church that's at Ephesus, he said, look, don't ever forget you're no longer a stranger. Don't ever forget you're no longer a foreigner. Don't ever forget you've got citizenship with the saints in the household of God. Don't ever forget who you are. Wait a minute. So what's he doing? Here's what he's doing. He's helping the church at Ephesus to examine their growth. He said, first off, don't forget. By the way, if you forget who you are, then you won't grow like you should. Come on. I've been down to the open markets of different places around the nations, and I'm surprised when I see that they eat crickets and all sorts of other things. I'll not be descriptive. You're welcome. And so, but I'm surprised what they eat, but they enjoy it. You know why? It's a custom. And then I find people that come here. I told Saint, that was from Bangkok, Thailand, that's in her Bible college. I said, Saint, after soul winning today, this was a couple weeks ago before he left to go back to visit home. I said, Saint, let's all, after we go soul winning today, we're all going to go eat Dutch. And he said, that's wonderful. I've never had German food. And I said, no, Dutch, you know, Dutch. Dutch, you know, you pay for you and I pay for me. Then I don't think he liked the idea of eating German food. But the terminologies are different. Now, notice here, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he said, look, he said, no longer should things be foreign to you, strange to you. But there's a citizenship, a citizenship. So statement number one, he says, look at the condition. Statement number two, he says, look at the foundation. Look at it, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It says, Jesus Christ himself, listen to it now, being the chief cornerstone. He said, look, he said, understand, we are built upon that. The chief cornerstone, the cornerstone is the most important block that they would put in the building. Because the cornerstone is where it would all begin. The cornerstone would give, if you would please, the face of security, would give the face of solidness. The cornerstone was put there, and everything else, if you would, it would show the foundation has been properly laid, and now we're ready to build. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. Now, may I say that at the resurrection of Christ, there was over collectively 700 people that experienced him after the resurrection. Now, you've got that which is Joseph Morgan or Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith and an eight. Joseph Morgan. We need Joseph Morgan. He's starting his own cult, and he's one of our Bible college students. And so, you notice how I identified you, Joseph, with Joseph Smith, all right? But Joseph Smith in 1823, he said that I was visited. When I was visited, it was a heavenly messenger. Moriah came, and he showed me. By the way, he's the one that is the founder, if you would, of what we call Mormonism. And he said, you know, I was visited by a heavenly angel. Moriah came, and there was 11 witnesses. By the way, three of those was his own cousins. They visited me, and they showed me where this golden plate was buried that has all the instructions on it whereby we're supposed to live. I mean, it is the beginning of the Book of Mormons. Wait a minute. That was 11. Three of those was his own cousins. Well, if I put that against the witnesses that saw or experienced Jesus Christ that was in the hundreds, who would you believe? I mean, just by the sheer fact of, hey, we're not talking about someone that dug up something. Hey, we're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about the Lord of Lords. We're talking about if I walk into a courtroom and I've got hundreds of witnesses, hey, I've got proof of who he is. Wait, what are we saying? Look at the foundation. We have a good foundation in Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things as we examine ourselves, we look at our condition. We know where we came from. We remember the day when it was like being unsaved. We remember the day when it was like not having Christ working in our life. We remember the day, and we remember and we understand from where God saved us from. We understand that. But yet the Bible teaches here we ought not to forget that. Don't forget that there was a day when everything seemed kind of strange to you. Don't forget that there was a day, come on, when it seemed kind of foreign to you. But don't forget that you have been translated from that which is darkness into light. Don't forget that now you are a citizen. You have a new place. You have a new dwelling place. You have a new father. You have a new kingdom. Wait, and so I'm not going to forget that, but I'm also not going to forget that my foundation has been pure. Listen to it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that which we have, that which was given to those at Ephesus, over and over, he emphasizes it's in him as he talks to those at Ephesus. It's by him as he talks to those at Ephesus. It is through him as he talks to those at Ephesus. It is through his blood as he emphasizes that over and over as he talks to those at Ephesus. It is by his death and so forth as he talks to those that are at Ephesus. He says, never forget who your cornerstone is. When we lived in Mississippi, We had a house. We were buying a house, and it was a beautiful, older brick home. And one morning, we woke up early in the morning, as we would normally do, and we looked as we laid on the bed, and we could see the ground underneath the house. The foundation had fallen. And I'm talking about we're laying in the bed, and we're looking at the ground underneath the house. You know, I'm thinking, I think we're probably in trouble. So I contact some guys that was in the church. And before they could come out, one third of that area where the bedroom was on the outside wall fell over. So now we're looking at the house from the outside in with not much of a wall. Let me tell you, we got a good deal in that house. But we're looking at the outside in, and then we're laying on the bed, and we're looking at the ground. You know what we had to do? We had to go in there and give repair to the foundation. We had to go in there and jack that entire house up on that side. We had to block that house. Then we had to let it down. Then we had to repair the floor. Then we had to, I'm so glad that when Jesus Christ lays a foundation, you don't have to go in and jack anything up. You don't have to go in and repair anything because his foundation is sure. You don't have to worry about building a house upon a sand when Jesus Christ is your foundation. The other day we had a storm. We had tornadoes that was coming off. And boy, I was down at the hospital with visiting Mrs. Stead. And Brother Cavanaugh was down there at the same time. And I said, well, I need to go because I knew the storm was coming through. And I was coming down past downtown Dallas, and I saw, you know, that it looked like a tornado on the other side. And I thought, wow, you know, and my truck was shaking and shimmying back and forth. And first thing I thought is, hey, this is neat. You know, and so, I mean, I've never been in anything like that, you know, and so I'm looking over there, and it looked like a cyclone. And I thought, you know, it's neat. Over there. And so, and Brother Cavanaugh is following me, and I start gunning my truck a little bit because I feel it's kind of shimmying a little bit. And so I get here at the church, and everybody, we had a basketball game and a soccer game that night, and everybody decided to fellowship in the church hallways. So we got 100 and so people that's out in the church hallways, and you know, there's no air condition on, and we're Baptists, and when Baptists get together and they sweat without air condition, we stink. And man, all these people are in the hallways and sitting all along the floor, and then we started fellowshipping, but you know, you can even fellowship when it's not really great situations and conditions. And boy, we're sitting in there, we're just having a good time. All of a sudden, you hear the sirens going off everywhere. And I thought, man, this is about to get exciting. So me and some men go outside, and we want to see if we can see one. So we get outside, and, boy, we're looking around. Where's it at? Where's it at? We hear sirens everywhere. And to our disappointment, honestly, we couldn't find a one. But the wind was blowing, and then it started hailing. Hailing. I mean, these things were coming down, and I mean, you got to understand, some of the guys are up here, and it already rained, and I mean, there's puddles of water everywhere, and you got Brother Aaron's boys and some others that are out there, and they're deciding to do these belly slides, and so, you know, I mean, there's puddles everywhere, and these guys are running across the parking lot, and like Superman without wings or something, and boy, sliding across there, and coming in soaking wet. Say, what is that? Fun? You know, there's guys running outside. Men, look at this one. Look at this one. Look at the size of this one. You hear kids, you know, coming in, teenagers coming in. Oh, God, one got me right there. Oh, it hurts. You know, but now wait a minute. You know what? When you go through, stay with me. When you go through problems like that together, you know what it does? Is it draws you closer. Did you know that? I don't know how many times I've gone to the hospital and I prayed with someone and I stayed there as somebody was bringing a child into the world, or I stayed there as somebody's getting ready to go to heaven, or I've conducted a funeral service, or we've conducted a wedding. Or you know what that does? That brings somebody in your life and it makes you closer. And that's what Paul is saying here to the church at Ephesus. He's saying, look, don't forget where you came from, but also don't forget who your cornerstone is. Don't forget that we are establishing ourselves upon the same foundation. We have a lot in common. Oh, some like fishing and some like hunting and some like shopping and some like cooking. But one thing that's a common denominator in this room this morning is the name of Christ, by which every single one of us has received him and we're going to heaven. Why? And it doesn't matter if you have other things in common. If you name the name of Christ, hey, we've got some things that we can talk about. We've got some things we can fellowship about. Why? Because we're no longer strangers. And we're no longer those that are foreigners. We are citizens together in the name of Christ, going on to do something for God. Oh, wait a minute. Watch this. I said, statement number one, you look at their condition. That's what Paul was telling the church at Ephesus. Statement number two, he's trying to get them to look at their foundation. Statement number three, and I'm done. He's trying to get them to look at their structure. You know, it's one thing to look at the past. Now, watch this. I look at the past and say, boy, I just don't think it could happen there. That's strange. Don't think God could ever work. And stay with me, because people do judge a lot. I don't think that God could ever work in that strange person's life. I don't think God could ever work in that foreign country there. But then all of a sudden, God does begin to work and they become citizens just like you. God says, don't forget, it was I that did it. I was the one that did it. Now, wait a minute, watch this. And so he says, let's look back and let's remember that which is the condition of the past. Then he says, remember the foundation, because I'm the cornerstone. I'm the one, you know, if you've ever gone rock climbing, or if you've ever gotten on top of a huge, massive rock. I mean, incredible. Out in the Phoenix, Arizona areas, you go through the Red Rock areas. You see these huge, massive, beautiful. Now, some people don't think it's beautiful if they've lived here all their life. I was preaching in a church out in Phoenix years ago, and I was riding along with the pastor's son that was my driver for the week, and I was talking to him, and I said to this pastor's son, I said, man, look at those rocks over there. I mean, I've never seen them before. Look at those rocks over there. Isn't that beautiful? He said, what? I said, the rocks over there. Isn't that beautiful? He said, are you kidding? Brother Wells, that's not beautiful. That's common. I said, not to me. You know, I don't ever want Christianity to become common to me. You know, and here's what you see as we look at the foundation. Boy, that foundation is solid. I don't have to bow my head in apology for anything that Jesus Christ has ever stood for or said. I don't have to bow my head in apology for how I'm raising my children or treating my wife. Why? Because that which God has given us is a solid foundation. He, Jesus Christ, is our cornerstone. Now, wait a minute. Here's what he says. He says, as we examine our growth, look at the condition where you came from. You know, if you look at where you came from and you see any growth whatsoever, it's encouraging. Come on. You ever see the baby? The baby begins to walk, and mom and daddy really is more excited about it, has more energy in it than the baby's putting into it. But as the baby begins to walk, and mom and daddy standing over there and say, come on, take that step, take that step. Come on, take that step. The baby begins to take a step, and the baby falls. What does mom and daddy do? They don't say, well, I knew you couldn't do it. You know, I'm putting you back in the bed. No, that's not what mom and daddy does. Mom and daddy becomes childlike. They change the tone of their voice. They get on their knees. They begin to coach. Oh, come on. You can do it. You know, and they get that energy, and the kid gets up and begins to walk and falls. Oh, no, you can do it, you can. And then mom and daddy gets a little bit closer and say, come on, one step. Coaches all the way through. But yet, here's what we do. When somebody gets saved, we expected them to understand the foundation just like we have understood it when we've been saved for 30 years. See, what we have to do is we have to coach them along. Statement number one, what do? You look at the condition. Statement number two, you look at the foundation. Statement number three, look at the structure, and I'm done. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 21. The Bible says, in whom all, it says, the building fitly framed together, watch it now, groweth, says, onto the holy temple of the Lord. Now watch it, what's happening here. The Bible says in verse 22, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22, the Bible says, in whom ye also buildeth together, it says, for, now watch what it's using here, an habitation, it says, of God through the Spirit. So here's what he's saying. He's saying there's that growth process. Now, how do we grow? Well, we realize that the church ought to be cared for, and the church is the born-again, baptized believers that's collectively come together with the intent of getting out the gospel to the ends of the world. All right, and so as we come together, we realize that as we grow together, that you and I are going to have to structure ourselves to help each other. Watch this. Let me show you, and I'm done. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to look at some verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to look at these verses together with me. And these will be the last verses that we read, and I'll draw it to a close. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. The Bible says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also it says, is Christ. So what we have is we have, Jared, come up here. What we have is we have a body. God's comparing the physical body, this is my son Jared, God's comparing the physical body to that which is the church. And he's saying, we're one body, but he said we have many, many members. So on the body, we have members. We have fingers, we have hands, we have arms, we have muscles, we have neck. We have ears, we have a nose, mouth, etc. Okay? So we're one body, but we have many members. Now notice what your Bible says. Watch it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, but now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Now aren't you glad that God put the nose up here instead of the nose on the bottom of the foot? He said, man, I put it all in place where it pleases me. Aren't you glad that what was well-pleasing to God is also well-pleasing to you? All right, now wait a minute. Here's what he says. Now he's comparing the physical body and all the members of the physical body to the church. Now here's what he says, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. The Bible says, but now are they many members and yet one body. Then he goes on to verse 21. The eyes cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. All right? So as he's given an illustration, not one member of the body could look at something else and say, look, I really don't need you. I just go away. Matter of fact, let's just cut you off. You're no good. No. He said the same reason it is in the church. He said, here's a little member that's in the church that's just as important as a big member. The eye's just as important as the whole head. The head's just as important as the foot. Now, by the way, we're all different. You know, some people laugh at jokes, other people don't. Different. You know, some people cry when a tear-jerking illustration is given, and other people wondering why everybody else is crying. Different. You know, some people get jokes late. I mean, you tell it, all of a sudden, 30 minutes later, they begin to cackle out loud. I got it! I was preaching down outside of Jacksonville, Florida a couple years ago. There was a missionary to Mexico. I gave a joke. He was sitting on the front row. I gave a joke. It was a good one. It was a good one. I mean, I thought about it. Gave it outright. Good one. I gave the joke, missionary sitting on the front row, 20 minutes after I gave the joke, he starts patting his knee. He falls on the floor in church, lays on his belly in church, hitting the floor and kicking his feet, rolls back over on his back. Missionary, Bible college graduate, rolls on his back, points up to the pulpit and said, I got it, that's good. 20 minutes after I gave the joke. Now, wait a minute. What am I saying? Here's what he says. He says everybody's important in the church. Well, I wish that so-and-so would be like me. God doesn't. Well, I wish that so-and-so would shout amen like me. God doesn't. Well, I wish that everybody had my personality. Be one boring world. God doesn't. Hey, he made us all unique. Made us all different. Amen. Watch this. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. He said, so something that seemed, that little toe doesn't seem like it's all that important. It's just a little toe, but it helps you keep balance in your entire body. But you don't understand that little finger. What's the importance of a little finger? Sure does help you when you want to have balance and using your hand. Oh, what's the important? Man, we just got eyelids. What's the important? It sure helps to have eyelids to protect the eye. You wouldn't be seeing without your eye. But Brother Wells, you know, sometimes I just don't understand what's the significance of having that little member. That, you know, the little kids that's around here, the little children, they're important. Did you know that? I don't know how many people have visited our church because a little child came up to them and gave them a gospel tract with a smile. They're important. Boy, you thank God for the light bulbs that's in the closet when you want to get up late at night and find something. Thank God for the light bulbs that's in the corner bathroom. You thank God for that. Come on. When you don't have any food, you thank God for the little food. When you don't have transportation, look, when you can't fill your tank up, you still thank God for the little gas you got in it. When you don't have much money in the bank account, you can thank God for the little that you've got. Somebody said little is much when God's in it. Oh, no, wait a minute. Here's what your Bible says. The Bible says 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 25. And the Bible says, and there shall be no schism in the body. So God said there shouldn't be any part of the body that's beating up another part of the body. You think that was crazy. You walked outside, you saw Jared walking up and down the hallway, just hitting himself upside the head over and over and over. You'd say, something's wrong with him. I'm staying away. You know, when you visit a church and you find out members are fussing on the parking lot, man, something's not right there. Something's not normal. I think I'm going to stay away. I was preaching in Yonkers, New York. Mrs. Wells, remember this. Preached a message. I thought it was a good message. Brother Dave, I thought it was a good one. Well, I preached the message, gave an invitation. People came forward. People got saved. Walked out on the parking lot, Yonkers, New York. Two ladies out there yelling at each other. I'm talking about screaming at each other. I got closer. I wanted to find out what the excitement was all about. They were screaming about my message. One said, that was good. The other one said, uh-uh. I've heard better than... Then all of a sudden, one of them slapped the other one. And I thought, oh, we're in trouble. Then the other lady jumped on the other lady on a parking lot, got on her back and started pulling her hair. What is that? That's schisms in the parking lot. And by the way, it ought not be that way. Listen, God says that in the church, listen to it, that there shall be no schisms in the body. Hey, one thing I can say about Parkside Baptist Church, good spirit. Just a good spirit. If you've never come here on a Sunday night, I challenge you. Come back on a Sunday night and check out the spirit. You know, here we're kind of separated a little bit. Got about 40 workers doing the other services next door. We got people scattered all over the property. But I'm telling you, you walk into a place, there's smiles. You walk into a place, there's a handshake. You walk into a place, people are loving God. You walk into a place, and people's working, and people's serving God. Hey, it's just a great place. There's no schisms in the body. The Bible says, and there shall be no schisms in the body, but the members shall have the same care one for another. So what am I doing? I'm hurting when he hurts. Brother Dowdy Sr.'s in the hospital today, and I'm hurting for him. I'm just hurting for him. Brother Girardi lost his sister-in-law. Man, I called him up, called his wife up. I hurt for him. I just hurt for him. JJ's in the hospital today up in Indiana. Brother Fenton's son in Sunday school gave out his wife's telephone number and said, look, why don't you call Mrs. Fenton and let her know how much you love her? They're getting ready to move here from Indiana. We need to start showing love right now, not wait till they come. Man, I just hurt for people that hurt. But isn't that a part of being a family? Isn't that a part of caring for someone? When you find somebody, and by the way, you might not be able to run and meet everybody's need, but when God brings somebody into your life, somebody into your presence, God can begin to work in their life. God begin to work in your life. And God brings you together. Claudia was having a hard time, I'd say about 3 weeks ago. And I looked at her life and I thought, you know, that's just a brave lady. And Mrs. Wells and I sent her a card and just saying, look, we just want you to know how brave we think you are. What is that? That's hurting when somebody else hurts. Come on. And by the way, that's what a church is supposed to be like. Church, you go to a church, I love it, but you go to a church and you see there's schisms. Not supposed to be that way. That's why I'm glad I'm here. All right, so what is it? The Bible says here, he said, look, consider where you came from. Consider that which is the condition that you came from. You're no longer a stranger. You're no longer a foreigner, but you're a citizen with the saints in the house of God. Consider that. Consider your foundation is Jesus Christ. But not just that, also consider that there's a structure going on. God's working in people. Watch this, verse 26, I'm done. Here, last verse. The Bible says, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. You ever do that? You ever do this? Now, don't do this just to see if it works. But have you ever had a hammer and you hit the wrong nail? Have you ever done it? Now, I know you because you're spiritual. You hold up that nail and you say, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise Jesus. I know you. But have you ever hit the wrong nail? Have you ever done that? You know what happens when you hit that little bitty nail? The sensation goes all over your body. Your whole body feels it. Have you ever noticed how you hold a cup because you hit your nail with a hammer? You know, have you ever noticed how you hold the cup? It's different. Have you ever noticed that it affects even the way that people look at you? Have you ever seen somebody hurt? Have you ever seen somebody hurt their leg? They're walking down the hallway. Come on, and they're limping along. Have you ever seen somebody do that? As they're limping along and they're hurting, you can sense that something is wrong. You don't go up to somebody and say, you don't do that. You go up to somebody and love them. And you don't go up to somebody and pat them real hard on the back and say, praying for you. Boom, and they roller coaster down the. But you love them. And that's what it's talking about. Watch this, last verse. Here it is. The Bible says, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, says all members rejoice with it. So all of a sudden somebody gets honored. What do? Oh, that's great. That is so great. Just recently, we had a couple of men that was able to, with their houses, some of the staff men, was able to get other houses, to acquire other houses with their down market. Man, I rejoice with them. That is just so good. Somebody comes driving up in a new car, and you don't go over and say, that's terrible. I'm jealous. No, you just say, that is a wonderful thing. God bless you. You know, in our church, we have people that's getting new jobs, people that's getting raises, people that God, because of their faithfulness and their service to him, God's looking down and saying, look, I see you. You've been faithful. And in our down economy, I think I'm just going to bless you to let everybody see that I bless those that are faithful. And boy, God's putting his touch on them, and they're getting raises, and they're getting all sorts of stuff happening in their lives. And hey, that's a neat thing. Oh, we're not supposed to look at them and say, well, look, what about you? I mean, come on, that's not right. I mean, God didn't give it to me. Hello? One member thanks the Lord for another member. Doesn't matter how big it is, or how small it is. One's important just like the other one. I love it. Thank you. Here's what we see. I'm done. Little kid comes up. Man, he's got that little bitty tie on. You seen the guys on Sunday night? Have you seen them? Seen their little guys? The little guys that's over in different departments right now, some of them, and some of them right in here. But did you see them? Boy, they're coming up. They got their little bitty ties on, you know, and they're walking up. You know, you don't even think they could walk, but they can walk, you know, and they're walking up, and they go, "Hey, preacher, how are you?" And I love it. All right, and I'm shaking their hands, and man, you look sharp. Man, you just look sharp. You know, and you got these little bitty girls that's running up, and, you know, and you feel something, you're trying to knock you over at the kneecap. You know, and they grab your leg, and, you know, it's like, whoa, there I go, you know. And they look up, and they got that big old smile on their face. Hey, look, what am I saying? I'm saying everybody's important. Everybody's important. To the oldest deacon, to the youngest Sunday school attender. All important. And God said, but the way we understand that everybody's important, let's not forget where we came from. Remember the day when you were a stranger, you were a foreigner, now you're a citizen. Remember the day when Jesus Christ became your foundation? Remember that day? You remember the day when God started to work in your life, and as God began to work in your life, he began to structure you, and you begin to understand that I'm important to God too. Many times we feel important to others as we make ourselves help them. Did you know that? Stand up, I'm done. Here it is, last illustration. I read the last verse, last illustration with Dr. Allen. If I enter into his life, automatically he'll respond to me. Amen. Automatic. Yes, sir. It's just a natural thing. A new member of the church and says, well, you don't understand. I'm a new member here and I just don't feel welcome. Let me teach you something. Let me teach you how to feel welcome. Here's what you do. He's got his own little life over there. He's living it. He's got a family, etc. I want to get to know him. I'm thinking, boy, I wish he'd get to know me. I'm not really a bad guy. Wish he'd get to know me. I wish that he would come and talk to me sometime. But he doesn't know I feel that way. How do I get him to get to know me? Hey, my name is Brother Wells. I'm a new member here. Amen. Hey, you're a sharp-looking dresser. You really are. Thank God for your wife. That's good. Oh, I just want to say hi. Okay? Just entered into his life. That's it. See him next church service. Hey, great to see you again. Man, it is great to see you. You come Sunday nights too, huh?
Yes, sir.
That's great. That's neat. Good. I just entered into his life. Come on. I come back on Wednesday night. Hey, you again. Same suit. I mean, good to see you. You know, what I do, I just entered into his life. Come on. The more I enter into his life, the more he realizes I'm alive. Amen. You say, well, I don't have that outgoing spirit. Okay, don't enter into his life this way. Don't do that. Here's what you do. Don't have an outgoing spirit. I've still entered into his life. Amen. He knows I'm here. Can't go forward without tripping over me. Amen. You know, different people have different personalities, but the Bible does still say, I'm just afraid. Here's what I'm afraid of. Thank you, be seated. Here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid we have new members coming to the church. Stay with me and I'm done. Here's a pastor's heart. We have new members coming to the church, and new members are thinking, hey, wait a minute. I'm coming to the church, but, you know, he says it's a friendly church, but nobody's been friendly to me. Now, I think everybody is friendly. But here's what you do. Come here, Ben. Here's what you do. You enter into somebody's life. You don't have to be somebody that goes up and shakes a hand. Hey, great to see you. Man, I'll tell you what. How long you been coming? That's great. Okay. I like it here, too. That's all I do. Hey, sharp-looking tie. Sharp-looking tie. Nice suit. Shoes nice too. Great to see you. And I enter into somebody's life. That's what I do.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.